So we are in the ninth chapter, the royal secret, the royal knowledge and the royal secret. So the ninth chapter, I think in my opinion, is the highest knowledge. I know all chapters are good and I praise everyone, but it is the middle of the Bhagavad Gita. It's like the Bhagavad Gita goes up into a zenith like a mountain, and the ninth chapter is on top because it talks very clearly about who God is, what is his nature or her, you know, God is beyond sex, it is the consciousness, and how I can know, it is very, very clearly described in this, how I can reach that highest. So that's why I think, in my opinion, the ninth chapter, everybody should not only read, but memorize. There are so many beautiful verses that can be memorized. And I'll mention a couple of them today that I think really give the essence of this chapter. So in the 17th verse, he says, Pitaha Masya Jagataha. He says, I am the father and the mother. Again, to make it clear that God does not have any sex, but it is the consciousness, it is the energy that is behind everything. It's like electricity. Is electricity male or female? It is both. It is neither. It is the consciousness which illumines all the bulbs and the fans and the heater and so on. So it is the consciousness that illumines everything. So he says, I am the father, I am the mother. And then he says, I am the Pitamaha, I am the most ancient, signifying that Lord was there before anything was, and then everything was came after him because he created everything. So Pitamaha means I am the great grandfather. And then Vedyam, and he is the one to be known, because we spend so much time in knowing, you know, chemistry and physics and engineering and science and medicine, but we don't really know who I am. And so the Lord says, I am your true nature. So I am that which has to be known. And I am the Pavitram Omkara, and I am the Om. Om represents God's presence in my heart. So I am Om that is in your heart. And Rik Sam Yajur Evacha. I am the Rik Veda, Sam Veda, Yajur Veda. So what he's signifying, that I am all the Vedas, I am all the spiritual books, Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishads, the Bible, the Quran, the Guru Granth Sahib, all of them are me. So the Lord is present in all the spiritual literature, and the spiritual literature leads us to him. And then in the 18th verse, actually these verses kind of are points for contemplation, that when I want to think about who is God and what is my true nature, then these verses are very useful even in meditation. Like he says, Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi. So he says, I am the goal and I am the means. So I am the one that has to be reached. And how do you reach? Through me. It is the Lord's grace that we are all present here, you know, reading his words and his literature and talking about it. So the Lord has to have, we have to have done some good karmas, that we met a guru like Swami Chinmayananda and we were exposed to his teachings, and that is why we are all here. So he says, I am the goal and I am the path. And then he says, Prabhu. And of course, he is the Lord. You know, that's very clearly. They say, oh Lord, he's the Lord of the universe. Then there is a beautiful description of the Lord called Sakshi. Sakshi. Sakshi means the witness. So witness is a one who observes everything that is happening but does not participate in it. So he says, I am the consciousness that illumines everything. In my presence, this whole universe is functioning. But I am not involved, and I let the universe function on its own. I, of course, provide the energy. And then whatever good or bad happens, the individual suffers the good or bad consequences. I am not involved. I am not the giver of sorrow or the giver of joy. I am the witness. And whatever joy or sorrows we get, it's because of our actions in this life or in previous lives. And then he says, Nivasa Sharanam Suhrit. And then he says, I am the abode. And then he says, I am Suhrit. It's a very beautiful word. Suhrit means I am your best friend. See, we always think of God as being some powerful, you know, entity sitting up there and watching, and he's going to punish us with a stick. If I misbehave, he's going to beat me. They said, no, I am your friend. I am always, just as a good friend, anytime you call him or her, they are available. You know, you say, I need help. In the middle of the night, 2 o'clock, you know, she will come or he will come. if you have an emergency. So the Lord is your friend. And he says, you just have to call me. You don't even have to call loudly. Just think in your heart, Lord, I need you and I will be there. And that is the beauty of this word, Suhrita, because he is the most intimate, dearest friend. And that's why they say you have a relationship of love with God. Do not have a relationship of fear. Prabhava pralayasthanam. And I am the creator, the sustainer and the destroyer. And that we know. You know, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Everything is created, supported and destroyed by me. And then he says, Nidhanam, I am the storehouse. And Bijam Avyayam, I am the immutable seed. Why does he say immutable seed? Because normally what happens to a seed, you know, you plant a seed in the ground and a mango plant comes out and becomes a mango tree. But the seed gets destroyed. The seed does not. You cannot take that seed and put it again and ask it to make a new mango tree. It's not going to happen. But he says, I am the avyayam, bijam avyayam. Avyayam means immutable, unchanging, indestructible. So even though I am the seed from whom came this whole universe, but nothing happens to me, the Lord says, I remain the same and I can create more plants, I can create more worlds, I can create more universes. And that's what they say, that this is a cycle. The whole universe lasts for several billion years and then merges back into the consciousness. And then after some billion years, the creation starts again. So there is an ongoing cycle of creation, sustenance, destruction. And that is happening in our life too. You know, childhood is born, then youth, and then old age. But if I think myself to be the consciousness, that I am this eternal consciousness, at this moment I'm occupying this body, mind, and intellect, and using this body, mind, and intellect to function, then even when the times comes when my body gets old, or when I have some pain, or when I have some sorrow, or some discomfort, I can remain relatively unaffected because I know I am this consciousness and nothing can happen to that consciousness. And even when it's time to give up my body, if a person is truly has understood the truth, then for him even the body is just a pair of clothes. In the second chapter, Sri Krishna very beautifully says, Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihai navani grihnati naroparani tatha shariraya vihaya jirnani anyani samyati navani dehi. He says, just as a person drops his old clothes and buys new clothes, you know, if these clothes are no longer to fit me or no longer useful for me, I don't like them, they're old fashioned, I'll go buy new clothes. So similarly, when this body is not useful to me, I have no problem dropping it because it's not me, it's just an outfit. Then he says, tapamyaham aham varsham nigranamyat srujamicha. He says, I am the one, the sun, that I create the rain and sustain the rain. And then, you know, and then so everything, the whole creation depends on rain. If there was no rain, plants would not grow, animals, you know, nobody would be able to eat and the world would end. So he says, I am the efficient creator of rain and I provide rain where it is needed. Then he says, Amritam Chaiva Mrityuscha. And he says, I am the mortality and the immortality. So everything that you are seeing that is changing is me alone. And that is what we have to say, that this whole changing world is nothing but that Lord himself. And then you do that, then there is spontaneous love for all. And he says, I am the immortal and I am the manifest and the unmanifest. So like whatever you see I am and whatever is unmanifest, I am that also. Like the seed is unmanifest and the plant is manifest. So I am both. Then in verse 20 and 21, he talks about people who perform good deeds, but not to attain God, not to attain the self or the consciousness, but they perform good deeds because they want to acquire heaven. You know, they have this idea, heaven is a beautiful place and I'll go and enjoy myself. Yeah, that is good. You're doing good deeds. And then some people do a lot of rituals. And there are specific rituals prescribed in our Vedas for people who want to reach heaven. They say you do this yajna, you chant these mantras, you do this and that, and you will get heaven. And he says that's good. But unfortunately, heaven is not the final destination. Heaven is a luxury, place of luxury. It's like Hawaii, multiplied 100 times, if it was 100 times better than Hawaii. So you go there and you have fun for a while and you enjoy all the apsaras and the beautiful dancing girls and the food and joy and comfortable beds and all this, you know. But then what happens? Kshine punye martya lokam vishanti. Then as soon as your good karmas are exhausted, you have to come back to martya lokam, this world of death. So he says, and then again you do good deeds. He says, then that's called, you know, coming and going. Why do you want that? Aspire to reach me. Because once you reach me, the consciousness, the Lord that is within and that is everywhere, and become one with me, then you do not need to come back again. Then why do you want to come again and again and go through this, you know, childhood diaper and toilet training and, you know, drinking milk from a bottle and learning ABCD and getting your teachers to beat you and all? Why do you want all that again and again? Just realize me and chutti ho gayi. You are done with it. And that should be the goal of life, is not to acquire momentary pleasures, because heaven is on this earth also. You can go to Hawaii, you can relax on the beach, and you can have, you know, drinks and, you know, comfortable. But once your credit card is maxed out, then you have to come back and start all over again earning. So that's what he says. Then this 22nd verse is one of my most favorite verses. I would recommend everybody to memorize it, understand it, and know the meaning of every word, because this verse is so powerful. It takes you constantly, if you keep remembering that, it brings you very close to God. He says, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janah paryupasate tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. Should memorize this verse, because he says, Ananyas chintayanto mam. He says, remember me constantly and paryupasate, and serve me and worship me, but not as only worshipping me in the temple or the church, but worship me as serving the people. And nitya abhiyuktanam, and those who activities are constantly tuned to me, joined with me, yoga kshemam vahamyaham. He says, I take care of their yoga and their kshema. These are very beautiful words. Yoga means I want something and I don't have it. So like I wanted a car or I wanted a house. Okay, so I struggled, got a mortgage, got a house. That is yoga. Now I have to take care of the house, right? I have to put the lawn and I have to buy the furniture, and then the washer breaks, and then the pipe breaks, and then the electricity, something happens. So I have to bring a repairman. So yoga is acquiring and kshema is taking care of, preserving. So he says that one who remembers me constantly, then I take care of his entire life. Whatever he wants, whatever he needs, I not only give it to him, but I make sure that it stays with him. Because we are all so worried, you know, oh, what's going to happen to my life? Who's going to take care of me when I retire? Are my children going to take care of me? Do I have enough money? And then the stock market went down and all my retirement fund got wiped out. So we have all these fears. So the Lord says, have no fear, because he is the boundless source of all the wealth, all the energy. Even right now, even if I don't think about him, who is taking care of my yoga kshema? He is. Whatever I have acquired, whatever abilities I have been given by him. And whatever I think is mine in this world, but whether it's my car, my house, my wealth, everything has been created by him. Even right now, he is taking care of my yoga kshema. But if you remember him constantly, then he takes extra care. And that's what the Lord says. He promises. He says this is a written guarantee. He said, no, it's not a 24-month guarantee or 60-month guarantee. It's a lifetime guarantee till the day you die. So it's a lifetime. So here sometimes they say lifetime, and then after 1 or 2 years you go and they say, sorry, the guarantee is not valid. You didn't take care of it. But the Lord says, if you take care of me and serve me in the world, I take responsibility. This is a beautiful verse, the 22nd verse. Please, everybody, memorize that. Then in the 23rd verse, we are just going a little quickly because we are trying to summarize. He says, Anya Devata Bhakta. And he says, no matter what form of God you worship, it doesn't matter. You don't have to fight. You know, Krishna is superior to Shiva or, you know, Balaji or Jesus is better or Allah is better or Buddha. No, it doesn't matter. Whatever form of Lord you worship, whatever means you worship, whatever book you read, whatever prophet you follow, whatever method you, somebody says, I want to do bhakti yoga, somebody says, I want to have jnana yoga, karma yoga. It doesn't matter what path you use, what form of God you worship, they all come, reach that one. So the idea is that all paths lead to Him. All forms of the God are His. He alone becomes all of these. There is one consciousness, and He alone becomes Brahma and Vishnu and Mahesh and Mother Durga and Parvati and Buddha and Jesus and Father in Heaven, Allah. They're all my names. That's why they say Lord has 1,000 names. You know, we learn the 1,000 names of Vishnu or 1,000 names of Shiva. So the idea is that God has several 1,000 names, and any form of them you can worship. Why? Because Aham hi sarva yajna nam bhokta cha prabhu reva cha. I am the enjoyer of all the yajnas, all the prayers that are offered to me, all the sacrifices that are offered. No matter what form of, ultimately everything comes to me. So that he says, whatever way you worship me, I accept it. And the Lord is cheerfully very happy that you are thinking about him, you are chanting his name. And whether you get up in the morning and say Om Namah Shivaya or the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, it doesn't matter because all prayers reach him. But he says, Natu mam abhijananti tatven atas chavantite. But those who do not know me as not as only as the form, but as the life within, as the consciousness, and do not reach me, do not realize me, do not know me, do not do my work, then chavantite, then they suffer. And that is true. You know, if you follow the divine path and you remember the Lord and you do his work and serve the world and help others, then your life will be happy. But if you live a life of selfishness and desire and wanting and acquiring and possessing, then what that's going to do is you're going to ultimately suffer, because you're going to have more desire and more jealousy and more greed and more selfishness. So he says, those who want me get happiness. Those who want the world, yeah, they will get the world, but ultimately this world will lead them to sorrow, because it is a temporary world. And a temporary world can only give you temporary joy, cannot give you permanent joy, no matter whether it's your spouse or your child or your job or your money or your house. Nothing can give you permanent joy. The only permanent joy comes from knowing Him. Yanti deva vrita devan, pitran yanti pitru vrita. So in the 25th verse he says, whatever you desire, I provide. He says, I have a credit card. Okay, whatever you want, I provide. He says, somebody says, I want devas. Devas means heaven, or devas also means sense organs. That I want to enjoy sense pleasures. I want to see, hear, smell, taste, touch, eat. I want to have fun. He says, okay, here's the credit card. You can go cash it. Have as much fun as you like. It's open-ended. You know, there is no limit. You want to have pleasure, you keep on having. Then he says, somebody else might say, Pitrun Yanti, I want to worship my ancestors, and some people want to live to the culture of, you know, they say my father and grandfather, they had this particular culture, and our ancestors, and so we want to maintain that culture. Okay, that's very good. And you can do that. And then others say, Bhutan, you know, I want the Pancha Mahabhutas. I want to know what is the world. I want to study physics and chemistry and mathematics and biology. Okay, that's what you want, go ahead. But so you will get what you want, but if you want me, he says, Yanti Madhyajinopi Mam. But if you want me, then you will get me. If you want the world, you're free. Go ahead and get it. It's your choice. Then somebody might say, you know, God is very hard to reach. You know, I don't know how to reach him. What am I to do? He says, I am very easy. You don't have to do it. I don't know Sanskrit. I don't know how to do 2 hours of ritual. He says, doesn't matter. patram pushpam phalam toyam. That's another beautiful verse. Actually, the ninth verse is full of beautiful words, but this is another very one, nice one. Verse number 26, he says, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. He says, one who gives me bhaktya, with devotion, with love, give me a leaf, give me a flower, give me a little petal, patram pushpam phalam, give me a fruit, or even give me a little bit of water. Just offer that to me, he says. It does not matter. It's not that you have to have a golden plate and have a golden, you know, coins that, yeah, if you can help, you know, somebody in poverty, or that's good. But to reach me, if you truly want to reach me, it doesn't matter what you offer. It is how you offer. You have to offer with love and devotion so that that offering becomes a vehicle to transfer my love. When I'm offering that flower, I say, oh Lord, it is a flower, your flower. I plucked it from your garden. You are the one who created it. I broke it and I'm offering it to you. But please consider this flower as an offering of my love. So that is the idea, or a fruit, or even some water. He says, offer me and then I enjoy that. The Lord says, tadaham bhakti uprahritam ashnami prayat atmanaha. Because the law of the person offering has love, so I accept it. Then in the verse number 27, yat karoshi yadashnasi yat juhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. Offer it to me, whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you work, whatever sacrifice you make, whatever charity you do, everything offer it to me. And the idea being that whatever I am doing, my ability to speak, walk, talk, touch, feel, everything comes from him. And when he talks about eating, it's not only the food, you know, like when we offer food, you know, we say, oh, this is the Lord himself who has created this food and I'm feeding the Lord within. So the idea is that all offerings should be made to the Lord. But food is not only through the mouth, but through the eyes, through the ears. So whatever things are coming into my mind, I should make sure that they are clean. Like, you know, if we go to a temple or a church, we're not going to take garbage and throw it, right? In fact, if there is something unclean, we'll go ahead and clean it. Why? Because this is God's house. It has to be kept clean. So similarly, my body is God's house too, because God resides in there. So everything that I put into my body should be pure. So I should see, hear, smell, taste and touch everything that is good. Like Mahatma Gandhi with those three monkeys, see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil. So it is the same idea that whatever you do, offer it to me. Why? Shubha shubha phalai raiva moksha se karma bandhanaihi. Because as we do activities with our body, mind and intellect, we create more and more vasanas. Vasanas are our desires, our tendencies. So as I do good and bad deeds, I create more and more vasanas, more and more desires. If I do more selfish deeds, it strengthens my vasana. So he says, the goal of life is to be freed of these vasanas and to realize, reach the truth within. So vasanas or my selfish desires are what obscures, because the Lord is there in every one of us. But why don't I see him? Because my mind and body is outward into the world of objects, emotions and thoughts. And I do not perceive the Lord in my heart because of my selfish desire. So as you reduce your vasanas, the Lord's presence becomes clear. As I do more unselfish deeds, as I serve the world, as I love everybody, and as I love God, I come closer to him. That's why in a saint, when you sit in front of a saint, you feel so peaceful, you feel so wonderful, because the Lord's presence is very clear. In the saint, they have almost no selfish tendencies, and that's why when you're sitting in front of a saint, you're sitting in front of the Lord. So he says, I will free you from that. Do my work and I will give you. I'll give you myself. I myself will come. There's another place it says the Lord is waiting outside, you know, outside our door, you know, just waiting for us to open the door to let him in. But we have no time. We say, I'm too busy. You stay outside. You know, after age 65, then when I have time, I will sit and read. So he says, I am there, you only have to call me. So this is the essence or this brief summary of what we have studied. The Bhagavad Gita is the essence of the Upanishads. It's the essence. It's like, you know, in the Gita Dhyanam, we say, Sarvo Upanishado Gavo Dogda Gopala Nandana Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhokta Dugdam Gita Mritam Mahat. So the Upanishads are the entire knowledge. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord Krishna himself has summarized. He has summarized the entire knowledge of the Upanishads and given it to us in an easily digestible form. Just as the example is like a cow. You know, the cow, he says, is like the Upanishads. And the cowherd milks the cow and gives us the milk for us to drink. So similarly, Krishna has milked because Krishna was a cowherd when he lived on earth. He lived as a cowherd. So he has milked the essence of the Upanishads and made it in an easily digestible form. Just as milk we can drink and digest, even a small child, a baby can drink the milk. So the idea is that the Bhagavad Gita is easy to understand. The Upanishads, if you try to read, are not only the ideas are very difficult, even the Sanskrit language of the Upanishads is much more difficult. The Bhagavad Gita is a much easier Sanskrit because I have studied a little bit, so I find the Gita I can understand. But the Upanishads, you really have to be a great scholar. So the Gita is the simplified essence of the Upanishads, which is useful for the common man in his or her life. So Gita is something we can apply very easily. The Vedas have four parts. That is the first part is the mantras, the brahmanas, aranyas, and the Upanishads. So the first three deal with rituals and deal with nature. They describe the nature, how nature was in those days. And they remember the Lord through remembering nature, through seeing nature, and how the rituals we can perform to reach that Lord. So those are the first three portions. The fourth portion, the knowledge portion, is called Upanishad. So Upanishad is one part of the Vedas. So Vedas have three parts devoted to rituals and God. And the fourth part is the knowledge. And so the Upanishads are a part of the Vedas. And the Bhagavad Gita is an essence of the Upanishads. Mm-hmm. Yes. I think because what happens is that right now we are holding on to the lower world. Holding on to objects, emotions, thoughts like anger or the things I love or my wrong ideas, wrong concepts. But as you get closer and closer to the reality, these fall off by itself. That's why they say that it is a sannyasa yoga. Sannyasa yoga. Sannyasa means detach and yoga means attach. So you detach from the lower and hold on to the higher. Detach does not mean that you have to quit the world and go put on orange clothes and no. But as I am working in the world, I constantly remember him. And the more you remember him, the closer you get to him. And you have to be constantly alert that, okay, this time I got angry. So why did I get angry? So then you kind of, once you become alert and you know, the main part of the battle is ignorance. I don't even know I have these bad qualities. But at least through reading the scriptures or meeting the guru or whatever, I realize that these are my deficiencies. And then you can start working on them one by one. But main thing is remember him and just ask for his help and automatically the negativities fall out. Because we are powerless to really take care of all because we may have thousands of lifetimes of vasanas. How can I eliminate one by one by one? They say, God, I surrender to you. It's your job. You surrender to him and then he takes care of it. Surrender is very important. Surrender and love. And constant remembrance, as often as you can. You see anything beautiful, you say, Lord, in the 10th chapter, which we'll be doing next, he says, yad yad vibhuti mat satvam shri mardujitam evava tat tat evava gachatvam mama tejo amsha sambhavam. He says, anything that you see beautiful, you see a beautiful flower, you see a beautiful child smile, you see a nice painting or a beautiful art or a nice novel or a scientific invention or something new, think of it as a small part of my glory. So anything beautiful, remember me. And that is true. Even within, when you see yourself creating something nice or doing something good, instead of getting ego, constantly thank Him. Lord, thank you for giving me the ability that I was able to. The more you remember Him, the more your actions get divinized.